lives.
No question. No question. And we just, I think we were all moved by our last conversation. And again, like we said, I mean, it's certainly a lot of fun visiting with families that have had experiences with Make-A-Wish and that have happy endings. And again, as we just found out, you know, and I think everybody realizes this, that unfortunately not every story, you know, ends up with a cured child. And there are some sad endings. But again, I think Amy and Bobby Smith, Big Skin, I mean, you deal with loss a lot in your line of work. It was a pretty moving experience.
This is as impressive a reaction to something like that I've ever seen in my life. It brought to mind a Bible verse when David's young son dies in the Bible. He makes a statement. He says, "He will not return to me, but I will go to him." And I think you could see on their faces, they know that they will see him again. And that's an inspiring thing. It really is.
Well, certainly a much more trivial thing is college football, but it's one we certainly spent a lot of time talking about on this show. And last night, pretty serious conversation that Brett Bielema had with some Razorback fans up in Searcy, and some pretty heavy conversation of his own. And for most of us, I think it seemed a little out of left field. We're going to talk to Dave Bartu now. He's been on the show before. College Football Matrix. You can go to CFBMatrix.com. It's a great website, and Dave looks at all kinds of things from a statistical standpoint. And again, it's hard data, real information, not just hyperbole and guesswork, which, you know, I'm sort of in favor of. Dave, welcome back.
Guessing's fun, though, man.
It is. We do that every...
Guessing, it's almost as fun as being called pigskin preacher. That rules. That made my morning already.
We do our guesswork every Friday with the pigskin preacher on games. We sort of pretend we know what we're talking about, but you actually have data on things, so that's fun. But, yes, there's plenty of guesswork that goes on in the zone, too. Let's not kid ourselves.
And about that name, I prefer that to my own name. I go around introducing myself as that to people.
Oh, everybody can remember it.
I wish my parents had named me that, but they didn't.
Yeah, the first time I saw you introduce yourself as the pigskin preacher, I'm like, really?
I'm like, what a punk.
You've become one of those guys. We have callers that have – Dave, I don't know if you've – I'm sure you talked to a lot of sports talk stations. We have callers that, like, have names – some of them are nicknames, but they go around and they introduce themselves as, like, we have a guy that calls himself Tiger Bait.
You're like, don't be that guy.
No, I mean, your name's Jody. And I understand why you want to go by Tiger Bait, because you're a dude and your name's Jody.
I'd be called Tiger Bait, too, if my name were Jody.
Exactly. So last night in Searcy, Brett Bielema raised some eyebrows by saying that all the data he needs to see is death certificates when it comes to the increased risk of injury and the evidence thereof. And you have been someone, you and I have talked off the air a little bit about this and the pace of play. We've already, I thought we made our case that this was a little bit based in dreamland more so than in fact, but apparently some people are not getting the message. So you just released or are releasing a pace of play summary that you've put together. It's an impressive list of information. I showed Wally here in the pigskin a little bit about it. It is a remarkable amount of information, but talk to me a little bit about the findings. And the thing I like about you is you didn't go in with a predetermined notion of what was or wasn't the truth. You dug up the information, and it speaks for itself.
Well, and that's, I think, one of the nice things about it. It's just public information. Anybody could have dug it up. Heck, Brett could have dug it up. You know, it's all right there. It's just putting it together. And I think that's one of the things that I'm always looking for is, you know, with the work I do at CFB Matrix, it's thinking outside the box and trying to put some numbers behind statements. Now, like I said in the report, it's non-scientific. There's no real prove or disprove of anything. But the goal was to actually see with numbers that were available, because injuries are posted. You know, season-ending injuries are all over the Internet. Injuries that happen throughout a year are there. All the statistics of every play of every game in FBS football is all available. It's just trying to get it all in one spot. And I was hoping when I did it that we'd be able to give us some kind of direction. You know, because I got to admit, when the rule committee came out and said they had this proposal, I was jacked up. I was really excited for it because as a stat guy, I knew that the data they needed behind it was going to be huge. To be able to actually pin injury rates on schemes, whether it be offensive or defensive, no huddle or traditional or anything like that, would be an amazing amount of work. Unfortunately, obviously, that was not there, so it kind of gave me the opening to take a look at this. And I think if anybody reads this, I'm going to post it on the website in about 2.5 hours. There's a lot of people looking at it right now and just making sure that it reads good and makes sense. But, you know, really the bottom line, I think, that I come away from this is simply, A, football is an injury risk no matter what you do, no matter what scheme you run, and B, no matter what speed you run, guys are going to get hurt, and the bigger the guys hitting each other, the higher the rate of frequency of injury. And you just look at these numbers, and it just comes right down to this force equals mass times acceleration. And, dude, I'm sorry, where are the biggest, fastest dudes in college football?
In the SEC.
And so if the biggest, fastest dudes are in college, and the best division, you're in the best division. Arkansas is in the best damn division in college football by a country mile.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in the best division, you also have the biggest, fastest guys.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, you know, if you believe in the big, fast guys cause greater injury when they hit, then you would believe that the SEC would have the greatest risk of season-ending and start-loss injury per play in the country. And for the last 5 years, the conference that has played the slowest per game in terms of offense and defense but has the highest rate of injury per play is the biggest, fastest conference in the country.
On the other end of the spectrum, and Dave Bartu joining us from College Football Matrix, if you're just tuning in, from 2009 to 2012, the Big 12 averaged more snaps played on offense and defense, and they also had the fewest starts lost to injury. So something doesn't jive there, when you, especially when you juxtapose it next to the argument just made about the SEC. So there are issues with injury, and there are issues with injury that vary from conference to conference, but it may not be for the reasons that certain people are looking at.
Yeah, because the Big 12 also, of the Big 5 conferences, guess which one has the smallest average guy? The Big 12.
The Big 12? Yeah.
The Big 12. You know,
well, Michigan's had a lot of injuries lately, but it's mostly players going to the donut shop with Brady Hoke, and there's not much you can do about
that. Well, but
that.
It's also practice, too. You got to remember, it's not just games. I mean, the injuries I put on here, I wasn't able to go through and isolate game by game. I mean, if the three of us sat down, and if you do the math, you look at 126 FBS teams playing 12 to 13 games, you look at all of the plays, it would take the three of us about 5,000 to 6,000 hours of watching games and play clocks just to track each and every play. Now, then we'd have to go in and somehow correlate all of the injury information off of that, because a guy might get hurt, his knee blown out on a hurry-up, no-huddle offense kind of play, but was that knee blown out last year and in high school too? Was it really that? I mean, so to be able to correlate all of this down to single plays and single offense and defensive schemes, I think would be extraordinarily difficult. I would love to do it.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of time.
I don't know how you do it.
No. I definitely don't have that kind of time, Dave. I'm just speaking for myself. Pigskin, I don't know if you want to get in on that, but I'm out.
No, me too.
Well, and it doesn't happen very much. If you look at a lot of people, when I sent out the 2009 to 2012 information, mm-hmm. they were asking, well, what about the fastest teams and the slowest teams? And, you know, I broke that down as well by season-ending injury. And in the report, it shows you right there, the 30 fastest teams, the defenses playing against them, defensive linemen were lost for the season 13 times. 13 times in 34,000 plays. Against the 30 slowest playing teams, 13 times in 30,000 plays.
Well, and then I also looking through the numbers here, too, more offensive players, and not by a huge margin, but by a small number, more offensive players lost to injury than defensive players. So maybe we should say that the defensive guys shouldn't be allowed to hit the offensive guys so hard.
That does cause a lot of injuries.
Exactly. Expand the field. Put, you know, and one of the arguments I hear is less plays is less injuries. Well, if you go down that path, where do you stop it? That's like U8 soccer mom mentality. Oh, it's all got to be fair. Everybody's going to get hurt. Why are we playing it? You know?
Yeah, you only allow three series per half.
or put weight limit caps per position.
See, I would be in favor of that.
I've said that all along.
Jimmy, you just made your 10th tackle. Dude, you're out for the game. That's enough
hits
for you.
I would love to be at my 200 pounds. I would like to be like a really big linebacker in college football, but that's like a corner or a safety these days.
On one of those lousy Rich Rod teams at Michigan, Bielema's Wisconsin Badgers ran the ball 25 straight times in the second half, and I thought, these guys are too big and strong. They should be off the field.
It's really not fair.
It wasn't fair.
Yeah, I would say also that the number of injuries during practice time at Michigan has gone down exponentially since Rich Rod left, because, of course, he was practicing way too much.
They're just eating donuts.
Well, and at Wisconsin, from 2010 to 2012, for Brett's teams, you had, at least according to the numbers that were available, in that three-year period, his offensive guys lost 39 starts to injury. His defensive guys lost 38. Very balanced. And both the defense was facing slow offenses in the Big Ten, and offensively, they were running that very slow pounding kind of offense, and yet it was still balanced. And you're going to find that no matter where you go, the injury rates are very, very balanced. No matter how these defenses and offenses are being run, the huge common denominator here is how big are these guys that they're facing. I guarantee you, great study, if the SEC goes to 9 conference games and they get to hit the crap out of each other one more time, watch the injury rate go up.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Bartu joining us, College Football Matrix, CFBMatrix.com. And again, the new information is going to be available here in the next couple of hours. The release of the 2012 article on Pace of Play read over 400,000 times. So, again, this is a topic that people are interested in. And what that means is more and more people are becoming informed, and more people are saying the emperor has no clothes on because this argument has no validity to it. That's the bottom line.
It's going to draw more light and more heat, which cannot end well for him.
And the problem for Coach Bielema, and I understand the frustration, is that it's not necessarily the amount of injuries. It's the wrong people are getting hurt. It's just like in life. The wrong people die. John Lennon dies. Yoko Ono's still running around. You know, yesterday was Kurt Cobain's birthday. He would have been 47. He's dead.
Courtney Love will be 94 one day.
Woman will probably live forever. Exactly. It's the wrong people getting hurt, the wrong people dying. That's just the way of the world.
Mm.
We're all frustrated. Nobody likes it.
That's the tough thing, man, is guys are going to get hurt. I hate seeing a guy. I hate being in the stands seeing a guy, writhing on the ground in pain.
Yeah.
But the bottom line, for a defensive lineman last year, bottom line, one defensive lineman lost for the season, either in practice or in games, once every 2,600 snaps. How do you get the granularity to slow that down any further?
One more thing here. I got, and again, this is not fact. This is something that is an opinion, but it does make sense. I'm all for logic. That's why I'm a hashtag logician. That's my deal. Jeff and Camden on the Keith Lee Service Company Live Fan Feedback. Slower games equals more time for defense to be in position to make a big hit. Faster games equals less time for the defense to be in position, hence less impactful hits. How many times have you seen defensive players on their heels and out of position because of the play, the tempo being, high-paced? A lot.
Less contact.
Yes.
I've seen it a lot.
Why do you think we have weight limits in boxing?
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, could you imagine a cage match? Nick and Brett. In a cage match.
Yes, I would like to see that. Because that's the only fight he's going to win, unfortunately, against Nick Saban anytime soon.
Right, but he would want a small cage where he didn't have to chase the guy down, where he could just engage and get a hold of him, and then just pound him. Where a little guy, like me, I want the cage as big as possible. I want to run around. I don't want anybody to touch me. Don't want anybody to hit me. I want to minimize being able to get grabbed and utilize my speed. And that's the balance of football. Wide, short,
Wouldn't you say as well that this is proof that Gus Malzahn is getting in the heads of a lot of his SEC rivals? They're nervous about what is brewing down on the plains right now.
Well, it could be, but we're also seeing an adjustment. I mean, sports goes through ups and downs. I mean, remember in the 80s, right. NBA? I mean, your average score, you turn it on, it was 121-16. 10 years later, it's 80-80.
Then they forgot to shoot and let people mug each other, and now they're in the 70s. So.
Right, and it goes up and down. And I found it was maybe these injuries peaked. I kind of see Brett's argument. If you look at 2011, there was 118,000 plays defensed in Big Five conference play. 118,000 plays. There were 1,501 starts lost to injury. The next year, only 500 fewer plays, 17,500 plays defense, yet 1,150 guys starts were lost to injury. So you have this massive decrease. So as this hurry-up, no-huddle becomes more popular, teams are adjusting by becoming more physically fit, by becoming more ready to take that on, and the injuries could be reducing because of that change.
Yeah, interesting argument was made earlier, too, Dave, about basketball. And back in the day when Nolan's teams were running people to death, playing 40 minutes of hell, nobody said, now, wait a minute, they shouldn't be able to press the whole game. That's not really fair. My guys are getting worn out. They're going to get hurt.
Oh, exactly. That was one of the points I made in a show yesterday. It was the 60 minutes of hell. And, I mean, that was end-to-end, and it never stopped. And I think that something like this, I think the argument could be made that, the hurry-up offense, because of the physical endurance it takes to do that, not only to run it, but also defend it, is over time, is college football going to become healthier because the guys have to be more fit? I don't know.
Oh, it all makes sense to me. Anyway, we'll see if the message gets to Fayetteville or not, or to Tuscaloosa. But stay tuned for that. Anyway, check out Dave's website, cfbmatrix.com. All kinds of good information, not just about